1076, John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. And Pam Hill is going to read it to us now. Thanks, Pam.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father.
Thanks, Pam. What we're going to do now is I'm going to share some thoughts from the Bible, but I'll have one eye on you and one eye on the clock. And when we get to about 11 o'clock, we'll just pause for a couple of minutes to remember, as along with the nation today. The verse I read at the beginning of the service says this, again, words of Jesus. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. We can apply that in two ways today. We can apply it as we think about warfare over the years, as many people will be doing this morning especially. Then later on, I'm going to apply it to the Lord Jesus. Today, the nation and the world remember those who lay down their lives in war. We remember those who lay down their lives to defend our country. There are various versions of the statistics, but the best ones I found say that in World War I, over 880,000 servicemen, that's a lot, isn't it? 880,000 servicemen perished in that dreadful First World War. Up at Horwich Heritage, we've got a plaque there commemorating over 400 men just from this town of Horwich who died in World War I. And in addition, of course, the casualties were terrible, and over 2 million were wounded in that dreadful war. In World War II, another 380,000 servicemen died. Plus, of course, with the bombing, the Blitz, over 70,000 civilians died as well. So it was sort of a terrible loss of life. When we think about all those brave soldiers and sailors and airmen, their sacrifice, you could say, brought us great benefit in that we're still free. We weren't conquered by anybody. But, of course, the cost to them was enormous and terrible in laying down their lives. And of course, although people said after World War I that was a war to end all wars, and then we had World War II to end all wars, and we set up the United Nations, yet we know today conflicts go on, and our troops over the years have been fighting in places like the Falklands and Iraq and Afghanistan and many other places, and those here who got family members who fought in some of those conflicts. And again, a tragic loss of life. And yet, great and terrible as that loss of life was, it's easy for us to forget. And that's why we need a day like today, a Remembrance Day, when we remember those who laid down their lives. We still remember them, and also, of course, remember those who were left behind. But as Christians, we also apply those words to the Lord Jesus, because these words remind us of him. After all, he was the one who said, "Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends." And in the passage that Pam read, I think I counted about five times where the exact wording varied, but the idea at least five times that Jesus laid down his life for us. And in remembering Jesus, we're taking nothing away from what our soldiers did, and we respect that, we honour it, we agree that it was necessary. But what Jesus did was even more significant. And this morning, fairly briefly, I'm just going to remind us of three ways in which the sacrifice that Jesus made was even more remarkable from the sacrifice that our servicemen made. Three ways in which it was different from what they did. Because the sacrifice of Jesus, as he laid down his life, it was voluntary, it was necessary, and it was personal. It was voluntary. Again, in the passage that Pam read, Jesus makes this point, he says, about laying down his life, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord." It was voluntary. The Good News Bible version of this says, "I give it up of my own free will." Jesus voluntarily laid down his life. It was all under his control. He said, "I lay down my life only to take it up again." Unlike anybody else who's ever died, he not only laid down his life, he was able to rise again to take it up. It was planned. Peter, on that wonderful day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and Peter preached that great sermon, he talked about the way that Jesus had died, the way that he was put to death so wrongly by the authorities, and yet he said it was all by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. It was planned. When a soldier goes into battle, he knows that there's a risk that he will die, but that isn't his plan. He hopes and prays and does everything he can, to make sure that he survives, that he comes through the conflict, survives. And many people did. The statistics seem to be that of all these men who fought in World War One, about 11% died. You could say they were unlucky. They were the unlucky ones, and many survived, even if they're terribly wounded. But Jesus' death wasn't because he was unlucky. It wasn't that by chance he died when others might have lived. That was God's plan. A serviceman hopes to come through the conflict. Jesus knew that he wasn't going to survive the cross, but that was God's plan for him. And he offered no resistance. He says, "I lay down my life." I looked at the meaning of that word, "lay down," and it means to lay something down in a horizontal, passive position, like laying a corpse in a tomb. That's how Jesus laid down his life. Completely submissive, he surrendered his life to his enemies with no resistance, no protest. The disciple Peter, in one of his letters in the New Testament, somebody took quite well about the attitude of Jesus. He wrote, "When they hurled their insults at him," that's Jesus, "when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." Why did he do that? Why didn't Jesus put up a fight? Why did he, as it seemed, walked right into the trap that his enemies had set without trying to escape? What was all that about? Well, we're going to see that in a few minutes. That's probably a good point for me to pause for my notes as I turn over the page. And in just a moment, we're going to be quiet for a couple of minutes and just to remember what Jesus remember the sacrifice that our soldiers, sailors, airmen made. And as we do that, obviously it's up to you what you think, but you might want to think particularly of those who mourn. You may know people who lost loved ones all those years ago, or who lost loved ones in conflicts in wherever it might be, the Falklands, in Northern Ireland, some fought in the Balkans, in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the list goes on, doesn't it? And it's terrible. But you might want to think today of those who are left behind. You might want to give thanks that, however terrible it was, at least God brought us through. Or you might want to think about the peace that the world needs, that only Jesus can give, and pray today we might know his peace, because you look at the news and the conflicts go on, don't they? The fighting goes on, sometimes terrible civil wars, sometimes aggression like we're seeing in the Ukraine at the moment. So in a moment we're just going to be quiet and remember that. If you feel able, I invite you to stand as we have our 2 minute silence. So if you'd like to do that now, if you feel able. And I've asked David, he will read the familiar words as we prepare to stand. So let's stand and let's be quiet. Thanks, Dave.
They shall not grow old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. The going down of the sun, and in the morning we will remember them.
Let's observe a 2 minute silence now. Some words from a war memorial in Burma. When you go home, tell them of us and say, for their tomorrow, we gave our today. Please be seated. And a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, as we turn back to your word, we ask, Lord, that you will speak to us as we remember what you did for us, the sacrifice that you made. And Lord, in this world that so much needs peace, please help us to find peace in our own lives, in our hearts, in the way that we relate to other people. Lord, may we be channels of your peace. And now, please help us to understand the message of your word and to be obedient to it, for your name's sake. Amen. So just to sum up where we were a few minutes ago, we thought about what Jesus said. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And we honour the servicemen who lay down their lives. But then we thought of Jesus and how his sacrifice was even greater, was different, even more wonderful. And we thought about the fact that, first of all, what Jesus did for us, it was voluntary, that he could have so easily escaped. But he chose not to. He walked straight into trouble. He set his face to go to Jerusalem, where he knew he would be in danger. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the soldiers came to arrest him, led by Judas, and he just stepped forward and put himself into their hands. And his trial, he made no defense, because it was God's plan. It wasn't a helpless victim. It was what God had planned, because that was the only way that we could be saved. So what Jesus did was voluntary. A soldier would never volunteer to die. His whole training is survival. But Jesus came here to die. So the sacrifice of Jesus was voluntary, but it was also necessary. It was essential. You know, in war, in theory, you can win a victory without any loss of life. Would that it were always like that. Of course, the horrible truth is usually there are enormous numbers of casualties and fatalities. But in theory, you can win a victory without any loss of life. But the death of Jesus was necessary for us. Because the Bible teaches that we needed someone to die for us. And that's what Jesus did. Again, Peter, in his first letter in the Bible, sums it up like this. He says, Christ suffered for you. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Jesus died to pay for our sins. He died to pay for my sins and your sins. And if he hadn't done that, we would all be lost. We could meet in a service like this and say all sorts of nice things, but that would only mask the fact that we were completely lost with no hope. Because however hard we try, we don't come anywhere near to living the perfect life that God requires. One day we'll all face our God in judgment, and without Jesus we would all be condemned. So the death of Jesus wasn't only voluntary, it was also necessary. But finally, something I've really thought much about recently, it was personal. The servicemen died for their country. I dare say they would have had loved ones, particularly in their minds, but they died for their country. But in the verses that Pam read, we're reminded that Jesus died for his sheep. Jesus died for his friends. Greater love has no man than this, he lays down his life for his friends. It was personal. When Paul writes to the Galatians in the New Testament, he makes it very personal, because Paul talks about the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus died for you personally. Just think about that. Jesus knows all about you, and maybe other people think you're wonderful, and in many ways I'm sure you are, but you know the things that aren't so good, the things you might be ashamed of, the things you wish you hadn't said or done, the thoughts that go through your mind when on the outside it's all jolly and friendly, but you know sometimes for all of us maybe the pride or the bitterness or the self-centeredness. And Jesus knows everything. He knows the worst about us. And yet he loved us and gave himself for us. Jesus died for you personally. And, on a day like this, we need a Remembrance Day, because otherwise, although the sacrifice of our soldiers was so great, we can so easily forget or just take our freedom for granted. And so we have Remembrance Day. But in the same way with Jesus, although what he did for us was so wonderful and so costly for him, we need a reminder, or we would also forget or take it for granted that we can come here in church and expect God to listen to our prayers and accept our worship and to speak to us and guide us and help us. And so if you come here regularly, you know nearly every week we have a short time where we break bread, we have communion together. We'll be doing that in a few minutes this morning, because we need a reminder what Jesus has done for us. But, you know, it's one thing to remember. It's another thing to actually do anything about what we remember. This morning we remember Jesus, but do we do anything about it? We remember his sacrifice for us, but how do we respond to that? At the end of the war, I think particularly this year, because it's been the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II, and you see those rather horrific pictures as Europe was liberated, and the troops coming in either from the West, our allies, or the Russians from the East, they came across the concentration camps. There's people there who suffered so terribly, and now at last they were free. And you can imagine in their weakness as the gates are opened and the Allies come in, and they're free to go. I wonder how many of them would have said, oh, no, I'd rather stay here. It would be stupid, wouldn't it? They've been set free. The victory has been won. It's time they can go. It would be silly for them to say, no, I want to stay here. But you know, most people say no to Jesus. Even after he laid down his life to save us, they say, oh, I'm not interested in that, because I want to live my own life. I want to do my own thing. So as I just finish these few words now, Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for you. What will you do in response? Well, what should we do? You know, you can come to church all your life and it still won't make you a Christian. You can try your best to live a good life, though we all fail often, and you still won't be a Christian. So what should we do? What's really involved in becoming a Christian, a follower of Jesus? And two things very quickly and simply based on what we think about this morning. Jesus laid down his life to pay for our sins. So if you want to follow him, you come to him and first of all say, Lord, please forgive me. You know all the worst about me, the bad things I've done, said, thought, the good I've failed to do. Please forgive me. And because Jesus paid the price, he will forgive you. And you find you need to do that day by day, because you read your Bible, you discover more and more things about yourself that aren't what they should be. So day by day you come to him and say, Lord, there's more stuff here. I didn't realise how bad it was. Please forgive me. And his mercy covers all our sins. We never get to the point where Jesus says, oh, no, that's enough. I've forgiven you often enough. Come to him day by day and ask his forgiveness. But then secondly, Jesus not only laid down his life, he took up his life again. He rose from the dead to live a new life. And the second part isn't just saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and then going on as we were. It's say, Lord Jesus, now I want to follow you. I want to serve you. Please help me by your Holy Spirit to serve you day by day. And if you do that, if day by day you confess your sins and you're truly sorry and you turn from them and you say, Lord, now I want to follow you, that's what makes us a Christian. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, thank you again for this sacrifice that we're remembering today. First of those who died in conflict, but then above all, we thank you now for what you did for us. We could never have saved ourselves, but thank you that you died in our place. Please help us day by day to get right with you when we sin, to confess our sin and to genuinely, sincerely turn from it with your help and to follow you and to be a real Christian, a real follower of Jesus, for your name's sake. Amen.